There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
Hi, I'm Bede Hill, and this is the D Word Podcast, where we talk dementia. Welcome along to another D Word Podcast, where my guest is Bernadette Mossman, who has a wealth of experience and is now part of the team at Vida Healthcare, who specialise in providing care for people living with dementia in their three uniquely designed homes.
So I'm a mental health nurse by trade, as they say, and I was working in hospitals for a very long time and transferred to Yorkshire with my husband and started working in social care and completely fell in love with dementia care after many years of working with functional illnesses. And I had the opportunity to work for Vida Healthcare at its infancy when we were starting up the business, and the goal was to create fantastic environments for people living with dementia who could live exceptionally well with great care. And as the healthcare director, I have managed to support the company to achieve that goal. And we now have three successful homes in the Harrogate area that that offer fantastic services to people who are living with dementia.
And 10th birthday, I understand, of first home opening.
That's correct. Yes, that was our first home, Vida Hall. It supports 70 adults and it has four separate living environments. And that was a fantastic day. It feels like yesterday, Pete. It feels like yesterday. My wrinkles don't say it was yesterday, but it's been fantastic and a wonderful achievement.
Yeah, no worries, Bernadette. It's radio, so everybody says I've got a really good face for radio, so that's perfect. I mean, tell me a little bit about that, because obviously you're in a relatively unique position in offering purely dementia care. A lot of my experience has been of care facilities with dementia floors or dementia units or whatever. But obviously, you're a little bit unique in being able to really specialise in that area.
Yeah, absolutely. And certainly that was always my experience before joining Vida Healthcare. And I think one of the reasons why we decided to support people living with dementia was we wanted to create centres of excellence. And we wanted to make sure that primarily when it came to supporting not just our residents, but our staff, that our training and our ongoing support to staff would be geared around that specific specialism. I'm very, very passionate about dementia care, and I feel often that even as a nurse, the training wasn't ever prioritised. And, you know, keeping in mind that, you know, the majority of people living in care homes are living with some form of cognitive decline, the need for specialist skills and training is absolutely essential. So we wanted to create a service which all our staff became champions in that area, that they understood the importance of how they could connect well with people living with dementia to allow them to live in a place where we had insight and understanding, and they had better days as a consequence to that. So we have now created three different homes. We have 20 different living environments in those homes where people are on different journeys in their dementia, with teams of staff who are very highly skilled and have a great insight into the journey with dementia and can walk by their side and support them through that journey. They say knowledge is power, but I think that is very much part of the journey. I think one of the key things is being able to understand the uniqueness of each individual person's journey. And we complement that by making sure that we do things like dementia care mapping, which allows us to, I suppose the key thing is make sure we're doing it right, make sure that the actual impact on the person is positive, and constantly adjust and review what we do to try and get good outcomes for that person.
Yeah, it's very interesting to me that, you know, you mentioned a journey through various stages of dementia. And I've often wondered in a conventional care setting how you actually cope with that, because my experience was of running activity groups for people living with dementia. And we had great trouble in having people at different parts of their journey and designing mm-hmm. something that everybody could take part in. And I think in a care setting, that would be a really difficult thing to achieve.
And you've hit the nail on the head there, because you can't expect everybody to take part in the same thing, because we're all unique and we all have different interests. So this is why we try and make sure that when we are looking at, if you just look at wellbeing, for instance, one size doesn't fit all. And you have to make sure all your staff, as well as your group of wellbeing staff, understand that. So I just don't think there's a lot of focus sometimes on looking at the absolute powerful requirement of good social engagement. And therefore, we need to make sure our staff understand the part that they play, and the wellbeing team understand how they can complement that and how they can create opportunities for people. So and often we forget simple things like, is your environment conducive to someone at having a good opportunity for an engagement? That doesn't necessarily need to be with another person. It could just be from picking something up that just so happened to be handed to them, right through to having somewhere to go that isn't always in the care home. You know, involvement in the community, doing things they used to do, to going downstairs, for instance, to in two of our homes have areas of engagement. So we have something called Bee's Teas, which has a whole range of different things in it, to a little shop, to, you know, a beauty salon, a hairdresser's, a sensory room. But and all these things are important, but what is fundamental is making sure we gauge things right for that individual person, so you're not setting the person up to fail. I'm struggling. This is too much for me. I will withdraw. We need to make sure we can say, this is going to be at a level where when you come in, if passive observation is right for you, but you're loving every minute of it, and I can see that from observing, we're getting good outcomes for that person. I just don't think you can underestimate how disabling not having a purpose is.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
This is the D Word podcast with my guest Bernadette Mossman from Vida Healthcare. You know, you mentioned social engagement. Do you think we do undervalue and often are kind of almost from birth actually dragged down the medical route? We've got something wrong, so I take a pill to put it right, and undervalue the whole social engagement thing and the real power of it?
I think there's a big risk that can be done, because people get caught up in their activities of daily living commitments to people. I have to make sure this person's, you know, their personal hygiene needs are met. I have to make sure that this person gets good nutrition. I need to make sure that they're warm, they're safe. But from experience, you know, having elderly parents myself, one of the big things they talk about is loneliness. And you think just because a person's living in a care home surrounded with other people that you've created a good environment for more opportunities for social engagement. But loneliness can still happen in those environments. And, you know, it's so important that we are very aware of the power that we can have and other people can have in that environment to do something about that, because you can easily be forgotten. So, you know, I do think it's something that we have to be constantly aware of, constantly looking out for, so that we can pick up on things that can make or break day, really, if we're not acting on something that we can clearly see isn't having a good impact on that person.
And I guess, you know, an important part is knowing that person, knowing that person's family, friends, what they used to do, where they came from, what they enjoy. You know, I kind of feel that that's almost a science in itself, just really getting to know somebody.
Yeah, I think that comes it comes from the very earliest stages of connecting with people. For us, it's absolutely essential that we have a really meaningful relationship with the extended family and understand that person's life history. And those words get used a lot. Often people will do that, but it becomes a document that's hidden in a file somewhere. We need to make sure that we take some responsibility for connecting and building that life history into their plan of care, so that there's a purpose behind how we use it and that everyone understands it, and we're capturing what I often call the little nuggets that we can then share with one another that can have the most amazing impact on people's day. Because there's nothing more powerful when you find that way in. It might only be a short space of time, but my goodness, it's if it's overwhelming to us, what is it doing to the person living with dementia who's actually had that connection and has brought sunshine into their day? Because as they advance in their journey with dementia, the one thing that they will always have is that emotional connection to you. So our job is to try and strive to connect whenever we can.
So important. I mean, I once showed one of our group members a picture of the footballer Brian Clough, and he just looked at it straight and said, "I marked him 5 times and he never scored against me." And the whole room stopped and everybody looked, "What?" And we found out a whole load just by showing an old picture.
It is absolutely, absolutely amazing. And I think, you know, when you were talking earlier about why do we go down the line of prioritising dementia care or specialising in dementia care, I mean, I don't think we should ever undermine the journey that a person with dementia goes on and some of the challenges and distress they might experience in their journey. And for us, it's very, very important during our support to our staff that we take them on that journey so that they understand what that person might be experiencing. So we do lots of work with our staff on dementia awareness, but it's very much about walking in someone's shoes and understand what that might feel like to that person so that they can have some responsibility and how they might connect with that person and some of the things that could actually hinder that connection, because they depend on us to make the adjustments. We also support our staff by having really skilled training in de-escalating techniques, things that they can do to make that person feel safe again when they are in the most difficult time in their journey and they need us to do that for them when they're struggling to identify what to do next and how to feel safe. We spend a lot of time and put a lot of effort into making sure we do that right. So our Invida Academy is there for our staff to hold their hands, because the journey can be difficult for them because they want to make a difference. And that can take time, but it pays off, because you can see the difference in the person's well-being and you can see relationships building again, and that is through trust. trust is everything, really, isn't it?
And, you know, I guess for staff, you must be going through a different journey every time as well. I mean, you know, this isn't buying a rail ticket and going from one station to another, is it? I mean, this is, you know, a different journey every day.
And, you know, none of us thought that when we got into our 60s, 70s and 80s, we would be living with 14 or 15 people in our day. That in its own right is an enormous adjustment for any human being to make, never mind someone who's also on a journey with dementia. And it's also the same for the staff, because as you rightly say, they could be having three conversations at once, and they need to adapt and adjust to each person as they go along. And no one should ever underestimate the absolutely amazing skill set care staff have. I am in awe of them every day. I am in awe of what they do and the absolute compassion and commitment that they have. And that's why, as a company, I feel very strongly that we need to make sure we invest in our staff, because we are nothing without them. We have nothing to give our residents if we don't give our staff not just the knowledge, but the confidence and the competence, the growing skill set to be the best that they can be, and that they maintain that through, you know, ongoing professional development as well. And supporting their emotional well-being. Because this is a really emotional journey that the staff go on. Yeah, and when they may be caring for a lady or a gentleman for years, and it's like losing a family member for themselves. So we look after our families and their journey. We look after our staff and their journey, because we're all on some sort of journey with this. And it isn't just the person living with dementia. We all have to, it's that bigger circle that we need to think much wider.
With your staff, I mean, is there any form of recognition of their expertise in this particular area at the moment? Or, you know, it seems obviously you get nursing qualifications, care qualifications, but, you know, maybe there is, but I think it'd be really nice if there was a real recognition of the real skill that they've developed.
I mean, we always nominate our staff for all the, you know, the care awards, and, you know, we've had some fantastic recognitions from that. But do you know something? I think one of the biggest recognitions is making sure you say thank you. You actually make the effort to go and find that person and tell them and recognise what they've done. And that's really powerful. I know we've done some lovely things. We have big affairs. We do Employee of the Month. We do special recognitions through our Team Talk, which is like a Team Talk platform, which we celebrate and thank each other, and the other staff can read it and they can pass comment. All these things are fantastic, but also I think staff need to be recognised. And I've got a really strong view on this. I do think that they have to be recognised through their salaries as well. I think that's really, really important. And, you know, we have been lucky. We have been able to do that. Last year, we gave all our staff a very large pay rise, and we said it was to recognise the professionalism of the roles. And that was powerfully received, as it would if you had a big pay rise. But it was more than that for them. It was about, you see me as a very important person. And to me, that's essential, balancing that up with making sure that we're constantly looking at their growth and we're listening to them, and they're helping us shape the service. Then I think that's how staff feel they have a voice, because often we surround ourselves with people that are better than us, and that's very much the case here at VIDA, because they are, a lot of them, most of them, you know, they help us, they tell us how we move forward and how we grow, because we have to listen.
And that's a very healthy viewpoint. You know, I often say to my friends who are living with dementia, you are the expert. I'm not an expert. I'm not going through this. You are. And, you know far, far more about this than anybody, because, you know, you're going through it.
Yeah. And, you know, we also offer support to younger adults living with dementia. We've got a new Huntington's disease house opened as well in one of our new homes here at VIDA Court. And, you know, we're dealing with some very young people who are on different journeys, and have young families, and you know, they're going through a very different experience, and it is very important that we remain open and flexible with how we support people, because it changes all the time and it stretches us in many different ways. And as soon as you think your job here is done, we're in, you know, we have a problem, because the care moves fast, things change, you know, improvements are happening all the time, different approaches to care. And I think we need to make sure our model of care is constantly reviewed to make sure we're making the best impact.
Yeah, very, very important, I think, with, you know, the way things are moving. There's a quote on one of your videos for Vida Hall, which I particularly liked, which says, "Not all of our practices are conventional and would not sit in an average activity programme." I wonder if you can just tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think anything goes. I think what we try and do is base what we do around what our residents connect with. And, you know, literally it could be anything. Nothing doesn't fit. I think that's our attitude towards it, and that's what we try and make sure our staff understand. No idea's a bad idea. So, you know, if it just so happens that, you know, I mean, it could be anything. I mean, I'll never forget recently, I was in the workplace and looking out the window, and there's three llamas walking down the entrance into the home. We had one resident saying, "Get them out, they need to be back in the field immediately. That's unacceptable," to going into the next room and seeing, you know, two or three residents overjoyed and thinking, "What are these things?" But they're very cute. I just think we need to be prepared to accept, not be fixed in our views, and just adapt to whatever our residents deem good for them. Just don't be fixed. Because I know if it was me, they would be doing, I'd be out, you know, I would probably be out jogging round the streets and driving everybody to the end of their tether, because that's what I need, and I need to make sure the staff are thinking like that. It's not about what I think is safe or what I think you need. It's about us understanding what you need and adapting to the service to that. So no fixed, you know, you might have a suggested programme of activities, but the key thing about wellbeing staff is they need to be in the moment, and they need to be seeing this ain't working and this is going to change right here, right now, because it's quite clear that I'm not having any impact in my, you know, I need to change and I need to adjust in the moment. And I think that's important. That's essential.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
You're in tune with the D Word podcast, and I'm chatting to Bernadette Mossman from Vida Healthcare. I guess it's all part of, you know, trying to create, perhaps it's a facile word, but normal living environment, and the fact that I could look out my window and anything could happen, and I could have a reaction to it, you know, and I'd be the man in the corner saying, "Can you blame me another Beatles record," for example. And it's trying to almost make a home away from my home, I guess.
Yes, I was writing some notes before we joined today, and I wrote the one thing that marked to me when I was thinking about this was, it's the norm. What is the norm for that person? It isn't trying to create something that they've never done in their entire life and never want to, thank you very much. We need to make sure that whatever goes on is something that person feels familiar and comfortable with, something that comes often without even thinking about it. You know, and that might be something as simple. So we have a gentleman who every day goes outside and raises the flag on the grounds every single day, because it's something he did his life when he was in the army. He's familiar with it. He sees it. We have another gentleman who takes the minutes in the residents' meetings and then chairs the meeting. And this is a gentleman who was always a businessman, has a purpose, absolutely loves it. You know, and for us, it's about sometimes it's simple things like making sure he has his paper at the right time, or the lady or gentleman who likes to organise the staff and the residents or whatever it might be. We need to just know that it isn't just about what looks like a social activity. It's about purpose, and it's about having a purpose in life. And the little things mean a lot to people. It doesn't need to be a big social sing-song, you know. But these things are good as well, because singing is magnificent and it brings joy if it's what you like. But, you know, not everybody likes the same thing. So you have to move around and go with the flow.
That's a very, very important message, I think. You know, my daughter, as she was growing up, always used to use the phrase, whatever floats your boat. And I think that's, that falls within it. One other thing I want to ask, in terms of when I first got involved in, you know, this whole area, the whole subject of humour was looked upon of, can't do that, kind of need humour here. And yet, in 2 years working with people living with dementia, I can quite honestly say I had some of the funniest and best times that I ever had. And I had such unbelievable one-liners and sense of humour from people. I had an ex-boxer from Kentish Town in London, and I got talking to him, and he said, do you know, I was one of 13 children. And I said, wow, you know, that's amazing, H. And he said to me, yep. Would have only been 12, but my mum and dad couldn't afford a TV. And everybody just fell about and thought, this is brilliant. And I still think that is so important.
Oh, it is probably one of the most important things. And the reason why I say that is because for a lot, if not all of them, if they're with us long enough, we become their second family. And when you're with your family, you let your barriers down. And when you let your barriers down, you can say sometimes inappropriate things and have a little joke about them. You can reach out for love and security and feel safe. But most importantly, you don't feel judged if you do something, or you cross a line, or you don't do something that you do something that's not right. And I have watched staff who, we often get referrals for people who have really had a difficult time in the journey, and other care homes are really struggling to support these people. I've watched them come in, and I've watched the staff engage with them through laughter, engage with them through respect and connection, and come on, we'll go and do it together, and walk in with them and smiling, the power of a smile. It's so powerful. And treating them as human beings, just not seeing dementia, just seeing the lady or the gentleman in front of you and saying, what do you need from me? Let's just do it together. And the joy of laughter is so powerful. And, you know, I remember an experience where this gentleman came in, and, you know, the assessment was very complex. This gentleman had a really tough time, failed placements in other care homes. He had went through a really difficult time, and his trust was broken as a consequence. And within the second day, I went in to see how things were, and he was singing Elvis Presley songs with the carer. They didn't know I was there, but the two of them were belting it out at the table, and the joy in his face said it all. And to me, that's about feeling safe and feeling welcomed, and people saying, I'm so glad you're here. And, you know, you can't get better than that to go home and say, have I had a good day at work? Yes, I have.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. You know, I've been there in a very small capacity. Doing what you're doing, I mean, surely you must have people looking at what you've achieved over the past 10 years and wishing to, you know, go down this route as well.
Yes, we do. And certainly we're really keen to welcome people who are curious about working in dementia care. Even if they've never worked in dementia care before, we would take them in and take them under our wing. and take them through our VIDA Academy training and give them extensive training and opportunity to grow. And to me, that's really important. I think one of the most important things, though, is also investing in the team that you have and giving them a chance to aspire to be the best that they can be. And I think that's essential. You can't just hold on to something. You need to set it free sometimes. So, you know, we invest a lot in bringing in student nurses. We invest a lot in giving our care staff opportunities to become nurses and giving them the funding to be the future of care, and spreading that quality, that skill set across health and social care. You know, it's not about holding on to everything that you've got and saying this is really good and I'm not sharing it. It's about making sure it spreads as far as possible. And I think it's fantastic to sit back and watch student nurses who were very open and said, the last place I wanted to go was dementia care. And I have completely changed my attitude. Can I have a job? Tick. Take it back to the university, scream and shout about don't make judgments, you know, based on what someone else has told you. Come in and see it with your own eyes and spread that to everyone else. Because a lot of people, especially students, younger students, they have an idea, but sadly no idea until they come into the work setting and they fall in love. And it's not for everyone. But those who absolutely love it tend to stay. They tend to ask for jobs. They tend to continue to work for VIDA. And that's a real true reflection on our visions and values, that they get those visions and values. They want to be part of those visions and values. And it drives those that passion forward and keeps us excited. That's important, isn't it?
Very, very important. We're kind of, time is drawing us for a little bit of a close. Always save the big questions for last, but probably it must have been about 6 months ago or after. I had the gentleman to design the Hoogwijk, the dementia village in the Netherlands, on the show, which was fascinating. And I was wondering, is this the future of dementia care, the way you've set up with your homes, things like the Hoogwijk? Is that where we should be going?
No one shoe fits all. And I know that they have created, you know, a really interesting environment for people living with dementia. I think there's always going to be a need for safe environments and care homes for people. But I think the way forward has to be our society, our community, embracing the fact that no matter where you live, this is still your town. You should still be able to use your community services and be part of society and not feel restricted. And for me, I just feel it's very, very important that we never forget that a lot of these ladies and gentlemen have lived somewhere for their whole life, and they shouldn't be forgotten people. They should continue to live as close as they can to what's normal to them. I think we need to be investing in that all the time. And we, as a care home setting, have to grow and adapt all the time and not be fixed and thinking everything should happen in one set environment. The community is essential. We need to link with our community all the time. In fact, just to finish, we actually, our dementia, our specialist training hub, we moved right into the centre of the community of one of our care homes so that people can walk in and ask who we are, can talk about the service and dementia care and make inquiries and understand who we are and what we do, because we owe that to our community to be available as much as hopefully supporting them to be able to support our residents when they come into the community. And I think that's a very important way forward in my eyes.
Well, Bernadette, it's been absolutely fascinating. Thank you so much. And please, you know, pass on our best wishes to all your staff and everybody at VIDA and, you know, all the residents, because it's a unique approach to me. And I think it's a very, very important job you're doing.
Well, it's also a real pleasure. And thank you very, very much. It's lovely to speak to you, Pete.
Thanks to Bernadette, and as I said, our best wishes to all the staff and residents at VIDA Healthcare. And if you want to find out more, then it's all on the website at vidahealthcare.co.uk. Well, that's it for another edition. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join me again soon here on the D Word Podcast.